Welcome back to the Bitter Jurors podcast. I am one of your hosts, Derek Renning. We're also a queer survivor superfan podcast. You know, kind of trying out a new sort of non-linear introduction, as you can tell. Kind of in my Christopher Nolan bag. But as always, I'm not alone. I'm joined by two people who were not aware that I was making an alliance with them in it. Sam Stanish and Christine Palin.
I'm down in Florida, looking out for Ben trying to get to the Mile High Club with Terry Deeds.
Oh,
how's that going?
So far, so bad.
Oh, no, that's, I mean, what it's like, it's, just based on like the social media sort of activity, it's like, has Terry Deeds not flown a plane since the past 2 weeks? It's like suddenly we were getting like everyone is on the Terry Deeds airlines. Which is fierce, you know, but I was like,
I mean, okay. Isn't it just Ben and his family? I think it was just him and his mom who
both times.
In the second one.
Yeah, that's
what I was. Yeah. But well, with Ben.
Well, she's everyone's mom.
Yeah, Ben and our mom. Yeah, so that is funny. He's looking fine as always. It's like funny, like having rewatched the Panama finale for Stanama with Christine, I feel like the sort of like Terry has transcended his sort of, I guess, like douchey sort of origins, you know. I think we all just think of him as like Daddy Terry now, which is great.
Terry Deeds has the social game. That's my only memory of him from Cambodia.
I will say I don't refer to him as Daddy Terry, but I do appreciate him as an antagonist. Okay. I will not be thrown under this umbrella.
From a, you're sort of a detached, like, third party, sort of, like, sort of like an alien species, sort of, like, yes, like, from the microscope.
Very interesting.
Interesting. So, yeah, we're here to talk about Survivor. We're on a Mergatory episode, a 13-person Mergatory. Is this only the second time they've done this?
I believe I don't know all the numbers in history, but I think it's at least the same thing they did last year. And then it seems like the next episode is also the same thing they did last year.
Right. What am I trying to say? I feel like there was a time when I like had a bigger problem with 13 person merges. And it's still like not my favorite. But since this isn't technically the merge, I guess I kind of like that we saved like the actual merge in quotes for a smaller number. I feel like if we're stuck with Mergatory, I guess make the numbers bigger so there are proportionally fewer people that are immune for it.
I guess I'm fine with a larger merge as long as the jury doesn't start for several more rounds. Like, right. I like the opportunity they have to like clear out the people who are going to be on the jury.
That makes sense.
Yeah, no, it's fine. It's especially since we are like getting stuck on these really small tribes. I would rather them have a bigger merge so we get to see people actually interact. Like, that's my biggest gripe with the small tribes. So yeah, like on a perfect season Survivor where it's two tribes and we're all happier, you know, like this early of a merge might be like feel kind of unnecessary or like, you know, might actually stifle some interesting tribe dynamics. But here it's very welcome because if the alternative is to spend even more time on small tribes, I'd much prefer this. So at least get to see more people play the game and what that looks like, even if, you know, someone is going home in a twist we're not a fan of. But this was, I think we would all agree, was one of the better, more interesting votes since they've introduced this twist.
I mean, things were getting bland in the first half of the season, or the first part of the season, and this episode was awesome.
This was a fun
had a great time, especially once they were all on the beach together, which was very early in the episode.
Yeah, I feel like my issue most with the three tribe format no swap is just that we don't get to see like character in quote interactions like between tribes. And so this is like, I guess, it's not the ideal solution to that, but it is a solution to that problem. That we get to see, I don't know, people talk more together. And it was appropriately chaotic, I feel like, which we like.
Agreed. It's just funny that, you know, they Carson their way through all of the twists from Survivor 45, except they won't copy the one that we actually want.
Ooh, I love that. That's
controversy.
Like, the picture of Cart is just like the picture of Christmas now, like me when I steal something, you know?
Exactly.
Great. You know, as always, history proves me correct. You know, just a little taste of our Patreon exclusive content for you. You can hear my thoughts on Carson before all of this hullabaloo even went down. So
we ranked everyone from the new era, and Derek was much lower on Carson than we were.
You know, to quote Tinashe, I can see the future. So,
period.
I feel like the big story here, at least my interpretation of it, was just like Siga, the implosion of the Vibe Tribe, which is, you know, makes them more interesting to me, at least.
they continue I don't understand the thought process of what they did. Would love to know more about why they thought going in completely solidified and presenting that way to everybody else was the right move, when they, because Mo was with them. If they were just honest with the rest of the group about like, yeah, like Mo's on the outs, that would have made them so much less threatening.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like, yeah, if there was like, yeah, we had this crazy divisive vote, you know, Jem was a big player, like, you know, now this is like big power player's been taken out and everything's, you know, a mess on our tribe, you know, like Mo, this was just like what we were, the opposite of what we were hoping for Mo last week when we were talking about the opportunity this position presented her. And I don't necessarily blame her, like, because she was on the bottom, she felt like,
I blame her.
Yeah, she should have done something sooner. But like, because you're on the bottom and your tribe saying, we will keep you safe if you stick with us, like, again, with the lack of swaps, it's like, you know, a risk going into going immediately selling out your tribe to Nami and to Yanu. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't know if you can trust those people, especially with journeys and stuff. So like, I get like, if her having potentially having hesitation to play that role and to, you know, use that position, but like, it should have become evident pretty quickly that this was not going to work.
Yeah. See, it's my other issue with it, or I guess like, it's not just bad for Mo to have done this. It's also bad for the people in power on Siga to do it, because it's like, if you are coming in six strong and you're scared that like, oh my God, the other tribes are just going to gang up on us, it's like, what sense does it make to just like hurdle up and like be like, yeah, we are a really strong six. Like, it just is, it kind of blows my mind a little. And it's like, as the people in power, you would want to present someone as on the outs, as like, well, if they're going to take out someone, here's someone that we are fine with getting rid of. And if you're Mo, you're like, I'm in, like, these are the people that are in power over there. Like, if you want to take a real shot at Siga, go get those ones. It's like, I don't really I don't understand the thought process. Maybe it just like snuck, like, they were surprised it was happening and didn't have time to actually get a strategy together. It just like did not make sense.
I think the reason I give like Mo a little grace for the immediate not doing it is because the emergatory, you're not merged. You don't know who's going to be safe. You don't know who's going to be on your team and who's going to be vulnerable with you. So like, I get at first for her to like not show that card, but like as soon as she was vulnerable and she knew who could vote out, like who and like everything, that's where it should have, she should have turned on a dime once it's clear that she's vulnerable and she needs to flip it on someone else.
Yeah. I mean, doing like right before everybody votes is not the time.
He's not gonna,
like,
do anything.
I understand that like there's a chance that it could cause this, like everybody stands up and redoes the vote, like decide someone new, but like it's too late for a risk. And I'm sure she didn't go to tribal like thinking to do that, and then maybe probably decided like at tribal, who knows, but it was the wrong time. My thing, she said in this episode, you know, better the devil you know than the devil you don't know, and I think that generally that could prove true, but I think in the game of Survivor it's not like a hard and fast rule, and if you're on the outs of your original tribe, like honestly, better the devil you don't know. Those people haven't left you out of mode.
I agree. It's like they, like you have no reason to not trust them, I guess, and they have no reason to not trust you. It's like, I feel like a tenuous connection is better than one that's already burned in that way. Especially with like with I feel like as soon as Charlie was like an option, I feel like that's like perfect for Mo, where it's like he like, guys, this is like he's like leading the charge over there. Like if you really want to take out a power player here, he's sitting right there vulnerable. Yeah, it's tough. I mean, obviously that's easier for us to say like on a full stomach, like
with all of the information.
Yes. So I feel like we should make this clear. It's like we're not saying Mo is like bad or dumb. It's just like that's just like there were definitely ways that this could have turned around for them.
Yeah, and then the people in power did like the absolute worst possible thing to keep her safe too. Like at the merge feast, Tevin is like, "Yeah, we hate Venus. Like, we'll get rid of her easily." And then Tiff turns the conversation and is like, "Well, Sigas, who do you not like on your tribe?" And they hem and haw for so long before finally being like, "Mo knows the most about the game." And so at that point, it's just sloppy play. It's like if you're to build a bond with some other group of people at this 13 person merge where you're a tribe of 5 people, you will need to talk to somebody. It's just not right. And then something else, I can't think of it.
I mean, I guess speaking of the Yanu of it all, I feel like we were all like, oh, there's no way people are gonna like fall for this sort of like Tika 3 moment, let them just like slide through the middle. But it's like that's kind of what was happening. They even like recognized it in the episode where it's like Yanu kind of have the power here. It's like it's very funny to me that we always like, I don't know, project like, oh my god, they're gonna be thinking about this on like a 5D level, like we can't have another Tika 3. But it's like I think when you're out there just like that, it just it's a cliche for a reason, I guess, that the smallest tribe ends up being the swing vote.
But they were also forced to because All of the zombies were immune.
But I prefer to just, you know, blame them for being bad at Survivor, you know?
Fair. My other thing was, if Ben and Tim were going to play that so wrong and, like, I understand that everybody's probably going for, like, a unanimous vote, first vote at the merge or whatever, but if I am Nami and Yanu in that scenario, I'm then being like, okay, well, they barely wanted to tell us anything and then kind of told us Mo. Like, I guess I might start thinking, like, should we be getting Maria or Charlie instead? I mean, I don't know. I just wouldn't trust the Sigas and then wouldn't want to do what they asked to be done.
Right. Yeah, I was thinking about that, and it's like, do we think that that's just like a natural inclination to get a majority, or do we think that's because there's that sort of like infamous stat of like almost every winner being like in the majority vote at the merge? Like, I wonder if people like actually think about that. Like, well, this is how things have been in the past, so we have to make sure this is like a majority here.
I mean, I think I agree that that stat is like proof of something, but I feel like it's more about, it's not that being numbers at the merge is the signifier of winning. It's like being in the numbers at the merge shows that you were part of a majority group at the most important stage of the game. Like, it's not like that's how you win. It's like that proof you are playing well.
Right. That makes sense. Yeah, fun. Trying to think, any other fun sort of non-vote things that happened. I really liked Kinsey calling herself a cast iron skillet. That was like a weird ass pull. As much as we hate metaphors around here, Kinsey, you know, she pulled it off. She pulled me around on the idea of a metaphor, because like cast iron skillet, okay, I'm along for whatever you're trying to sell me here.
I liked the idea. I mean, it's true. They've gotten a tribal 3 times. They've lost immunity 4 times. And, like, the Sigas kind of have played Survivor. And Nami has not voted anyone out. So they definitely have the most experience. And I feel like that was clear during, like, the feast discussion. And then as they were, like, all running around, like, they clearly, like, knew way more about, like, how to play and who to talk to and, like, how it all was going to work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. And it's like, Because I feel like there is some benefit to not going to tribal early on just because you have numbers, but it is like, it's like demonstrably like really nice to like at least go to tribal once, because then, like you said, you understand what you actually need to do. Ideally, I don't know.
I agree.
Yeah, I think it's ideal to go like once or twice. Yes. Like, I mean, obviously, Yanu is making it work, having gone even more times than that, because they also just got, I think, you know, we were wondering would the Tika, the ghost of the Tika 3 haunt them here. I mean, it's so fresh, but also like, you know, they maybe it's almost too fresh for these new players to like really worry about it much. Mm-hmm. But also like Yana got lucky in that like Siga like fumbled this so badly, and Nami is so like, they're just, it was a kind of a perfect storm for them to be able to maneuver quietly in this group. Mm-hmm. I mean, and they were all safe here, ultimately, but even before that, you know, it didn't, I don't think anyone threw out, you know, Yanu as a target before.
Right. Like, even like, oh, next week we have to get one of them out. Like,
yeah. As that we saw, you know, that was obviously.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, appearing weak is just the way to go in Survivor, mm-hmm. Especially in this huge group. Like, five people who are all strong together is never the image you want to give. I do think that Siga's, like a tribe like Siga would benefit off of not going to tribal pre-merge. I think that if they thought about it and came into the merge, like there are cracks, we just like didn't go to tribal. But just this is off of like going to tribal once or twice. You want to, if you're a fully like vibe tribe and everybody loves each other, then not having those cracks and lines formed going into tribal, I mean going into merges could help, but I agree that like you really want one or two, or I mean up to four even, to like make sure the people you're actually going into the merge with you're solid with.
Because
Nami would be even better if they had gotten rid of well maybe they'd be better, but then there wouldn't be like a clear name to give to the other people. Who knows?
Right. I mean, I feel like Luvu is like sort of proof positive of that in a way, where it's like didn't go to tribal like at all pre-merge, and then like there was a core three that like made it to final four together, like with ease.
Yeah. in the pre-merge of 41, I remember everyone was like, Luvu is like gonna be a huge target at the merge because they're so strong and like they're so united, it's gonna make sense to like, but it worked for them because they were able to stick together. Whereas, mm-hmm. you know, Siga, it was like odd that it worked so well for, I mean, but Luvu also gave up Sydney at
this. Yeah, like,
and Luvu, Nasir, something similar.
Yeah. Luvu thrived because Sydney and Nasir, like, did not like each other and everyone knew it. And that, so they were able to, like, give that information up because the four people who, I mean, you know, as we're told, were, like, closely working together, we're able to be like, yeah, we can get rid of these people. We don't care about them at all.
Which, I mean, that's also what, like, Reba was forced to do that pre-merge because of the swap. But that was, like, the same principle there, where it's like, we have a four, and we're willing to get rid of Jmai and Sifu. And then it's like, okay, that makes you less scary, I guess. But you still have, like, a really, like, four. That's a lot of fucking people, like, in a merge situations.
And that's kind of what I'm trying to say with, like, the Siga discussion and ultimately choosing Mo. Like, you are sharpening the core to be like a better working group by doing what they want, unanimously getting rid of the person that this group has like deigned to give you the name of. And this is kind of what Venus is saying too, where she's like, why would we get rid of Mo? Like, she's on, like, if they're giving the name out, like, shouldn't we be getting somebody else? Like, like, Reba's a really good example, like you're saying. They're finally down to just the people that they like working with and trust the most and are no longer a big threat. It's like that, they're like visibly a big threat in numbers. Right. And so it doesn't behoove anyone to like actually do that.
I know.
Other than the Seagulls.
Right. It's like, I don't know. I'm sure there's some sort of like psychological sort of term for, like, I don't know, like, you're maybe you just don't question it, or you're like, well, we for sure, like, if they these four are presenting a name, there are four votes right there that we can count on being there for that person. So I feel like maybe in the moment it's hard to big brain it and be like, well, if that's the name they're giving out, we have to go for one of those people who like offered it up. So I don't know. I guess it's hard playing Survivor, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, I think it's probably also fear that, you know, next episode, next round is going to be split groups. And so they're worried about making waves or whatever. But if they were willing to have this non-unanimous split, like 7-5 or whatever it would be, 8-5, it makes it so much more interesting, I think. And especially going forward, where there's now like this big group of people who have been left out. And I don't know, I think, like we've said frequently, like the twistiness of Modern Survivor leads to much more conservative gameplay. But I, you know, Charlie threw a vote at Venus to prevent the shot in the dark thing. So I think we've seen that that's going to pan out next episode in drama, which I'm excited for.
And on Twitter.com.
Yes.
Oh, right.
Yes. I feel like the poor 46ers, I feel like I think in general are not feeling the season, and so they sort of have responded to that in kind, which slay, love that. Honestly, I love the energy. But I feel like just like the once the ball started with the Andy Heron of it all, it's just like there's something that came into the air where people were just like, we're gonna air all our shit out, we're coming for not just Andy Heron, we're coming for each other.
For each other. Before the season ends. And Keturah is loving it.
I know that. She's like, wait, we can like tell each other's like shit. I'm like, what? This is new. I love it.
There's this episode invoked Ko Rong by mentioning Aubrey, and I am reminded of it by the social media practices because Kyle Jason, after the Thai idol thing, I think, like was on Twitter and he said, yeah, Ty gave us back the idol like right away afterward, and the CBS cracked down instantly, like social media like smacked him, and was like it was kind of like an energy of, oh my god, maybe he'll never be able to come back because he said that something that's going to happen in the first 1 second of the next episode. And now comparatively, like, these people are just like, they're continuing to play the game day by day on social media.
I love it. Yeah, when I saw Charlie, I think, I don't know if it's still up, but him like explaining his reasoning for the Venus vote, I was like, oh, we can do that, I guess.
I love it. I don't care.
Me too.
I mean,
it's great.
Hopefully they've seen the Traitors social media cast and like who were just doing episode recaps like mid season and seen it's okay.
It's just like, that's more, I like knowing people's reasoning in the moment, because I'm sure the show will present it in a very different way. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure it like won't pan out in the way that this like person's very like subjective first person like view of the situation, like it's not going to match up anytime. So I don't see the harm in it, unless they are like, well, they're going home next anyway, so who cares? Like,
yeah, and like now that we're not allowed to have actual deep dives anymore,
right?
Like for like the finalists, at least, you know, it's like we're not gonna get this level of like, by the time the season ends and people can talk more freely, we're not gonna be, I doubt, you know, who knows when Charlie would get voted out, but if Charlie were to make it really far, you know, that's not something that's gonna be a top of mind question to talk about. So like there's, you know, it's nice to be like, oh, okay, there's a little reasoning there. And it's not really spoilery. It's just explaining what happened in the episode.
It's like the like MTV pop-up music video thing. It's like, we're just getting like a little juicy tidbit Avatar in the moment. Actors. Yes. So I, like you said, I don't see the harm in it if they're not like outright spoiling anything.
So the other big thing in this episode that was really surprising game plan, I think we've kind of alluded to this, but it's the fact that Maria was not filled in on this alliance she was agreed to.
I love it.
Let's hear it up for you for your boy and unpack this. You know, I don't think it's like bad to like, you know, yeah, I think the whole like thing of like agreeing to put someone in alliance without them being there is always kind of risky. You know, And I think Tim has the right idea of, like, you know, it's, we shouldn't, I think Sam, you said he's bringing old school Survivor back because you shouldn't, like, it's, we've been here for like 5 seconds at the merge or the fake merge. Like, you know, why would I lock in with this alliance? But it put, just put him in an interesting scenario, a situation where he did agree to it, did not tell Maria. And then Maria's like, we're not even number ones. he's my number three.
Right. Like, she cares. She trusted him like least of the majority. But I think that's an interesting way to form an alliance. If this is how Tim's thinking of it, who knows, where he's like, you know, he's got Ben in the Sega group as his number one, and now he's got Maria as his number one in this other group. You know, who knows who will take over, but, you know, spread a little thin, but maybe that'll be good and more people will be getting more information for him.
Yeah, he's kind of a mastermind when you think about it.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly how I'm thinking of it.
Yeah. Yeah, it is really funny. Yeah, like you said, Christina, I, like, don't hate the idea of just being like, just presenting it as like, yeah, I'm good with Maria. I'm sure she would be okay with this alliance. But then you should let her know that.
Like, ideally. Yeah, like, we don't have to agree to be like, that's also a way to kind of build trust with her. Be like, look, this was, I was approached with this. What do you think about this? Like, you know, mm-hmm. you're not telling her we're joining this alliance. Like, you can, like, give the impression that you guys are with them, but, like, in have this kind of, like, conspiratorial thing with Maria where it's, okay, mm-hmm. are we really going to go with them? You know, who's to say that will work or change his relationship with Maria at all? But that seemed like more the way to play it of, like, just tell her, like, hey, there's this something in the works. Let's find time to talk about it. But, like, it was just bad that Q was the one to tell her. Right, like, yeah. it really went poorly for Tim, even though I think he had some of the right instincts.
She's a relationships person, and so I don't want to tell her. I want her to form her own opinions, but it's like, you want her to be in this alliance of six people, and you told them that she was going to be. So I don't know this is the time for her to, like, vibe it out.
And the game moves so fast, like, at this point, you need to, like, at least get the ball rolling so she knows to be on the lookout for that.
I mean, you've had a full, like, 24 hours
since
the journey to disclose this information. And, like, you know you're going to a merge story now, and it's kind of like, Q, Hunter, or Tevin, or Tiffany, are you going to come up to Maria and be like, alive.
Hey, buddy.
So, like, you can't, if you want to be working closely with her, you have to at least get that ball rolling and be like, tell her this information that you would have that she could never know unless you told her.
Yeah, I kind of love it. What was his reasoning again? Like, why Maria? Just because they have the parent connection? Was that it?
He thinks he was like, yeah, we have a connection. And he had previously kind of mentioned, I don't know if it was in that scene when they're forming the alliance, but his reasoning is that they're both parents and that they have that connection. And Maria, like, validates, like, yeah, we have that connection, mm-hmm. but it's not her top priority. And
yeah, so I'm just like, why didn't Tim pick his, like, number one, unless he,
I think that is
his, Maria's number one, which, period, love that for her. I just, like, I assumed it would be one of the guys just based on what, like, the information presented to us. Mm-hmm. So, you know.
Yeah, Maria said it that she thought his number one was Ben.
Right. It was confusing. But, you know, I love it. Otherwise, it would have just been Tiffany as the only woman in that alliance, which, you know, is tough for us collectively.
Yeah. I mean, as far as majority alliances made up of mostly strong dudes or whatever go, I mean, I don't hate this alliance. I think that it's a good group. It's a good enough group if they were the people who took over.
Yeah, I agree. It's like, okay, if men have to work together, this is, like, a good group. But, you know, it's like in an ideal world, they're not going to work together. But they ended up on essentially one team. We don't call them tribes when it's the merger story on one team. It's like, Jeff, like, maybe we should just always call them teams then. It's like, let's just get rid of the, like, weird colonialist sort of, like, verbiage if we're sort of, like, dancing around that a little. But that's neither here nor there. That was funny. It was funny, like, see, like, who was, like, saying, like, we're fucked basically on the other side. It's like, this
most
sucks
of them, but
yeah.
Like, Venus and Soda,
I think it was like Soda was like, well, we're gonna lose, which is so funny. Soda funny. And I loved it for Tiff, honestly, most of anyone. Like, the fact that she got to walk back to camp with, like, she didn't have to wash mud out of her hair. She got to eat food. She got a nice little merge buff. Like, I love this for Tiffany. This was a great moment for Tiffany, this episode.
Every moment's a great moment for Tiffany. I love in the mergatory scene where they find out, drop your buffs. She has a confessional where she's like, yes, I'm going to the merge with my two best pals, and I've got her Idolisha
in my bra. I love Tiffany, is so great. Tiffany feels like someone who's like, she should have been on the show already at this point. Amazing casting. I'm so excited to see. I mean, honestly, I really love this Yanu 3. They're really fun. Q's whole like issue with Aubrey was really funny.
He gets she's it.
Like, she's like Aubrey geeky.
It's so funny. I know this is, everyone is thinking this, but it's like, that woman lost Survivor 3 times and got progressively worse every time. Like, it's
I told that someone like on my like personal account on Twitter was like, I saw him say the same thing of like, Aubrey's like lost, she was a losing finalist and then was left out of every vote on Game Changers and then got snowed like in the pre-merge of like Edge of Extinction. And I was like, it's like literally Aubrey is the least threatening person you could compare yourself to in the Korong final, like final four, even like of like that's the least scary person in that group.
He was also like, so when did you start watching? And she was like, Aubrey got me into it. So at most, she's been watching for like 5 years. Like, yeah. Whatever. Oh, wait, no, eight now. I'm old. Like, it's gonna be fine. I mean, it's you know, use anything you can to get a target, I guess. But yeah.
It was funny. It almost felt like the show trying to present Aubrey as like the new like Parvati comparison, even though we've already had the like she's the new Parvati within this very season. I feel like they're trying to create a new sort of like vernacular for people to use to target women, I guess.
I was also laughing at this because they're using this as proof that they're like, we need to get Mariah because she is a super fan instead of Charlie. And it's like, look at Charlie. He is a super fan. Like, think, like, it's... watch him speak for 1 second. You'll know he's seen every single season of Survivor.
I know, but it's like, maybe appearances are deceptive because Hunter, for all intents and purposes, seemed like he was a super fan. But now, as we know from
doesn't know his locos.
He's actually just a filthy casual, so he's not a Survivor fan.
Yeah.
What would you guys say
on the island if somebody asks you who your favorite player is?
I mean, I feel like the funny thing for me to say is obviously my actual number one, which is Dina Bennett from Survivor, the Amazon. You know, the woman who went out mid-merge. I mean, I feel like that would, I don't know. I hope that would be funny to whoever I'm saying that to, but I feel like the easy answer would be like I don't know, like a high or like just some gay guy. Like, that would be the easy answer.
Sure. Yeah, I was thinking like, well, I think Lena Brovin was like, you always say Rupert, which I think is a smart choice.
I agree. What about you,
Lisa Vanuatu? Lisa Vanuatu. Because they'll know I've always got a backup plan. They'll keep them on their toes.
And you're willing to say bye bye to anyone.
Yeah.
And that you're true to your word.
True. Yes. It says that you're saying, evoking her says so much. I think
it does. In so
I will show
time.
You where the food is, or I will want to be known. I will want to know where the food is. Excuse me. and I'm true to my word. Bye bye.
Period. Yeah. I
think I would say whoever is the losing finalist of the most recent seasons.
Yeah.
I'm like a Jake type.
Yeah. He was so baby girl. It's like, and people will be like, oh, he's never seen the show.
I agree. Or like whoever like TikTok is like aware of. Yeah, it's just like, don't pick someone who is, I guess, scary. Which again, in my personal opinion, and we've just said like Aubrey isn't a scary person to say to us. But again, if you're like someone who's like has like a normal relationship with the show, that is scary.
She's a woman who was strategic. Yes. Is that who like talked about strategy? That's why she's scary.
Rightful.
But even then, it's like, you ask her who her favorite player is, and you look at Mo, and it's like, okay, she likes Aubrey, that she probably sees a lot of herself in Aubrey. Like, it's not like she's like,
Joe Anglim.
I am Aubrey, and it's like, I guess it could also be feeding into the idea that a woman's alliance was, like, perhaps gonna form, because Venus tweeted some stuff about that, where it was, like, 7-6 or whatever, and Aubrey, you know, was presented as the leader of a women's alliance, so that could be bad as well,
I guess. But it's like, what's so wrong with that, guys? Let it happen. That's all I'm asking.
Period. Well, seeing women's alliances and, like, bringing people into alliances without them asking, I just always think of this, the confessional from Amanda in Micronesia, where she's like, and Parvati told them that I want to be in an alliance with them, and I don't know if I like that. It's like,
it was funny. I mean, mother,
I thought you were gonna say, speaking of women alliances, and then we were gonna talk about Venus's feminist strategy rampage. That was
she channeled
so Cassidy, funny
channeling Cassidy Clark. I'm not voting a woman out this round. And then she does. I love it so much. I love that it's like, like, defaults on Charlie of all people too, is so great. She's everything to me. And her like borderline laughing during the vote was also great. I'm just obsessed with Venus. I think everyone is.
Yeah, well, except for the Nami tribe.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, not to, I guess, like, get into the BTS of it all, the behind the scenes, you know.
Always the thing.
As I thought, is that what that stands for?
I don't think so, but someone told me that once, and I think I thought it was that for a long time.
I kind of love that. If it is boys that sing, I'm like, I like them. Because those are boys that sing. They are.
Bulletproof Boy Scouts. Wait, but that's BBS. Wait. I don't know.
Wait. It's not real. But I guess for people not in the know, apparently there is some Nami tension. Specifically, five Namis, or all Namis versus Venus. I guess we don't know Randon.
Randon is on the Venus. Randon's not in.
Randon
was not on the castle for 46.
I guess ignore that I just said that if you think that's spoilers. But
I mean, if you open Twitter and seen Venus's tweets, you can probably gather she is not happy with her castmates.
Hey, if you've seen any episode of Survivor 46 so far,
you can probably clear
the dynamics of the Nami tribe.
I mean, we spent a good, you know, few minutes of this episode. I didn't talk about this. This was funny use of, like, an idol hunting scene to juxtapose it with, like, this, like, ongoing interpersonal conflict between Soda and Venus. And that was, I'm sure everyone on this podcast would agree, that is the more
interesting. Yes.
Period. Christine agreed. I think... I don't know if Christine cut out for everybody or just me.
No, she did.
I probably did.
Okay.
It was more interesting, but, like, it was funny to have the idol hunt. Yes. Like,
I love the fight. Literally moments after they find out they're going to the merge, like, day of the merge, they're gonna get into a fight with each other. And I love it even more because Venus once again said the phrase, I'm not blind. Like, she just said that to Randon, like, two or three episodes ago. She's just like, we used to talk all the time, and I don't think it's a secret that we don't talk anymore. The open confrontation, we've been missing it on Survivor. I needed it.
I love it so much. And it's like, I wish there was, like, more. I wish there was more. Like, they showed us more of that. It almost feels like they underplay the fact that there's, like, so much nonsense going on for the Namis. Just give it to us more. We love it.
I particularly was sad that Liz did not get a confessional in this episode, especially in an episode where they're throwing out allegations like Liz hates Soda.
And yeah, that, like, was so random.
We saw, well, there was that scene a couple episodes ago where Liz, Hunter, and Tevin were talking about getting rid of Soda, but it's like, you can't just put that in the episode and not have Liz talk about that at all. Like, I would love to know if that was actually true, or who was, like, overhyping, what words were said. Like, what's Liz doing?
Yeah, where's our girl? Stop silencing billionaire voices.
Maybe they were. They were worried that people would confuse Liz and Mariah if they showed a confessional of Liz. So they like invisibled Liz while they like got rid of Mariah, and now she'll like start getting some content.
I think you're onto something. That is, yeah. I wonder if like casting did that on purpose. I don't know. I feel like
they may have been so concerned that they would be mislabeled by the editors, like in confessional, you know, like when on Survivor Redemption Island or whatever, or maybe Karamoan, where fans were literally just like misnamed in confessionals, which I mean could easily see happening between Liz and Mariah if they were to have too many confessionals of either on a merge beach.
Right. And I love that. So they just like cut it out. There's no chance of it happening. And now Liz will inherit Mariah's winner edit that Christina and I clocked.
Yeah, people thought she was Natalie Anderson because of the Jeremy connection, but we're actually seeing the 20 go home so that the other 20 can thrive.
Exactly. I'm saying.
Oh my God. She's popping in and out for 1 second as the internet goes bad.
This episode should be a great argument for video versions of our podcast, because I guess people just haven't been able to watch the last like 5 full minutes of Christine just like popping in and out and like not being able to say anything.
Just like with a smile on her face and then like leaving instantly.
I love it.
I am back from being kicked out of meeting 10 times by Google Meet. That time was my internet. I just kept being like, I heard, when one of my momentary moments in the call, I heard us, Derek say Christine and I called that, and I'm assuming it's about our accurate predictions about Mo.
Yes, of course. In your moments, you're like in and out of consciousness. You're
my moments. I'm like, oh my, yes. I will say, like, we made some incorrect predictions last week, but at the top of the episode in the Bitterjurors group chat, I did say after the opening segment, I was like, she's either winning or going home here.
And one of those was right. All I said was Mariah's stocks are up, and I feel good about that.
To be fair, you guys were confusing her with Liz.
Yes, of course. Mm-hmm,
of course.
Well, that's what, Christine, while you were in your like weird little like limbo state, we were talking about, you know, well, she's gone.
She'll never know. She'll have to re-listen.
she's back again. Okay,
girl. Okay, that was again. I'm trying a different browser. I don't even know what's going on. Okay. Oh, yeah, we did get her confused with Liz. Spoiler alert for people who don't want to know Edgic, Liz is winning.
She inherited the Mariah edit.
What is the, you know, back history of someone inheriting someone else's edit? Does that exist?
I don't think it's ever happened.
I think people talked about that with Liz on Australian Survivor, but I don't think that really counts since that's a fully different universe.
And that show, people just like don't like, it's like someone has to inherit the edit because they only ever focus on two people per episode.
People blink in and out of existence and then become the main character.
It's like the only time that's like kind of, I guess, happened is the one example people point to is Natalie, but it's like she had a good edit anyway. People just like didn't like her. It's like, I don't know. People are silly. It's just not a thing. You don't inherit an edit. They're going to edit a winner as a winner, like always, in my opinion.
Not always.
Not if you're a woman.
Yeah. Well, that's different, you know? But yeah, do we want to wrap and talk Edgic, or
I'm peering through the, I'm just looking through. I loved when Tim and Q talked about like Tim failing to get, Maria, and Tim, Q was like, you better secure that, like that relationship. And Tim said, I'll secure it before nightfall.
That rocked.
I love that line.
Dramatic King. Tim is great. I know he's getting a lot of flack for like not being a presence much.
And apparently not being a bear.
Like, what the hell? It's like, if Tim's not a bear, I don't know what a fucking bear is. Like, y'all are, open your eyes, please.
Are the bears in the room with us right now? Yeah.
At least one of them is. Like, are you kidding? Get out of my face with that. I don't get it. Yeah, sorry. Always get a little heated. It's like,
I have no dog in this race, but I support you.
It's just like, really? Like, you're mad that I find two particular men attractive on the season?
So they're mad you're gay. They're mad you're gay.
You hate gay people. You hate gay people.
That's what we're saying.
Say it. Just say it next time.
How did you guys feel about the allegations that Venus is a strong social player? I feel like we've lost the plot on what that actually means.
Yeah, okay, so people, like, this is kind of like what people were doing with Caleb last season, where it was because he was entertaining. People were like, he's so good. Venus is, like, doing what she can with the position she's in. And I think, like, you know, why her tribe mates dislike her so much, you know, what, you know, I'm sure we'll learn more about that on social media during and after the season. But she's been in a tough position, and she's playing hard, and I think people are excited to see that, but then what doesn't mean she was playing amazingly. We were like doing this like, yes, mother, but it was also like put her in a lot of danger to do everything she was doing, with, like, you know, she had the right instincts of like, it doesn't make sense for me to vote Mo, it doesn't make sense for my game, it doesn't make sense for a lot of people, but she also knew she didn't have the social capital to really pull it off, so like going that hard was really risky, but it was iconic and it doesn't have to be good.
Yeah, I think people just like want to say someone's a good social player when they like can't actually pinpoint what they're actually good at or like why they're still in the game. Sometimes people are just like not good at Survivor, and that's amazing.
The strongest social play you can have is being so well liked by everybody you're playing with that nobody would ever send you home, and you will win at the end. Like, and like, so far, I don't think that Venus is doing any of those three things. And so, you know, Jessica, it clearly is like super fast on her feet and really good at thinking about the game and like knows what a good move would be, but that's not a social game. Like, that's strategic.
She's good strategic instincts.
You need the social game to make the strategic game happen. And that's, you know, I think that people kind of don't know what things mean, and they're kind of just repeating what has been said before.
Agreed.
Compared to Aubrey, who, you know, had some social game and was able to use it strategically, but then didn't have the full social game to win at the end.
Yes. There are levels.
She was robbed.
Well, I hope they get her stuff back from whoever stole from her.
Loved Ben saying there was a really quick scene where Tim, Ben, and Charlie talked, and they like showed three sentences, and Tim was talking about his kids, Ben said his grandma is a psychic, and Charlie said he can eat a whole bag of tortilla chips.
Dudes rock.
Dudes
rock. Oh yeah, that's like that scene from Survivor 45 with all the dudes.
Oh, yeah, exactly. They couldn't get a Kenny Loggins song this time, I guess.
No, they used the budget last season.
It's like, where's the women's equivalent? We need something else. Like, girls, what would be
fun?
That's like, yeah, I guess. I'm like, they need to go for something. I mean, Girls Night Out, Charlie XCX would be a great pull.
Who Run the World? Options. Girls.
Yes. That'd be fierce. I think they just need to take it a step further and like force them to like learn choreo for the next time they do that. And like, they just like fully break out into dance. I would love that.
There we go.
Loved when Q asked Mo what happened at the last tribal. She said, I think she wrote down Ben.
That was so bad. That was
Mama,
so
you know.
Bad. I was like, girl, let's get it together.
This was like yesterday. And she's like, I don't know. I don't remember. That was so long ago. I was so crazy back then. yeah, I love that for her. Rest in peace, Queen. You went out with a bang. I love that she was gagging people. Like, actually, the reason I didn't say it till now is this, blah, blah, blah. Love that for her.
And Hunter's people like, look, I can't vote. And she's like, I'm saying it loudly to the person who can't vote.
Like, get him, gather him. Hunter tried it with our girl.
Do you guys know what Ajita is? I did not know. And Soda was saying she has Ajita.
Oh, I've definitely heard of that.
She said it's what? Like a mini heart attack. I didn't know how to spell it, but after they lost the mandatory challenge, she was like, I have Ajita, or like, I feel like I have Ajita.
I think isn't it, I don't know how it's pronounced. Yeah, angina? Angina.
I've heard of angina. That. Yes.
Yeah, it's angina.
Yeah, I always pronounce it angina. It's like chest pain and like discomfort in your chest, yeah.
Yeah.
And I was like, is this like Ijbol? Like, is this like, Ijbol. This,
like a... I just burst out having a heart attack.
Wu Chi Lei. Like, it's a kind of that kind of vibe. That sucks. Sorry, Soda. We love you. Still a Soda jerk till the day I die. I'm still annoyed she got like ran off of Twitter because people are fucking losers.
Yeah, Venus was so mean to her.
Like, y'all, we are robbed of like Venus and Soda beefing on Twitter in front of our eyes. Like, you didn't have to chase her away.
It loved is. Tim masterminding and saying in confessional, why would I vote for someone on my own tribe?
King. Yeah, like, maybe think about that. Like, why? Maybe think, like, why would you?
Why would you?
Like, let's think that through. Like, maybe you could? I don't know. Silly boy. Love him. I'm glad. I feel like people wrote him off because he's been so quiet. But, you know, I feel like perhaps he's inheriting the Mariah Winner edit.
Hmm. I don't want to go that far.
No, I don't believe that. In
Christine, if you're ungrateful, I'm sending your ass back to Canada.
That was funny. Period.
Q is so great. I love that Q is like giving. I was so like, I was ready to. I mean, we should have trusted that the cast photo was so good. We should have just trusted that that was like he would give the energy as well.
King. Any other thoughts? I mean, just to gripe a little bit, I do think that this would have been a very interesting swap dynamic with this like god tribe winning like two challenges in a row and this other like tribe of, you know, the lessers having to decide between themselves. Like, I think that this 3-3 split, it would have been really cool to see play out. See, because like Venus and Nami would have instantly both run to the Seegas and been like, we need to get this girl out of here. And like, that would have been way more interesting than what we ended up with.
Agreed. It's just like swap at 14, do two rounds, merge at 12. Like, why is that hard?
It's worked before.
Like, trust the formula, Jeff, like you always say. Although, I don't know. I don't know what he's saying now on Fire with Jeff Probst. Like, and I don't think we'll ever know.
Our asses are not listening.
Well, if D can't get me on board listening, it might never happen again.
It's very like Michelle will never, even Michelle can't get us to watch the challenge. So like, we're not listening to that. Sorry.
Wasn't there, maybe I'm making this up, that there was a season where Natalie and Michelle were on at the same time. I don't know. I don't know anything about the challenge. I'm sorry to challenge fans.
I know Natalie left early. She was pregnant, like had a pregnancy something.
Oh.
Like, I don't know if she actually ended up being pregnant. There was some, she said she was pulled for like a medical reason, but I don't know if it was the same one.
She got pulled from the Twitter thread that the show takes place in every year, you know, every half year, it feels like.
No, I think they were on the same season.
Oh,
we'll never know.
No, I'm wrong. Either so many fucking seasons, it's impossible to keep track.
Especially for a show we don't watch. Any final thoughts on the episode before we move on?
I feel like we plumbed the depths, you know?
Yeah, I'm ready to get to the edge of it all.
Slay. You can follow our podcast, Aperture's Pod, everywhere, and me at Sam Sandish everywhere.
Same here.
at Sam Sandish?
Yeah. No, follow us at Bitter Dirt Pod, like you said. Reindeerics, Twitter, Shadow Play Gays, me and Christine. Maybe one day, musicals, Utana. You never know.
You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at TheXteenFiles, and you can read my writing on Inside Survivor. That's it.
Period.
All right, Edgic. Well, Mo's not winning. What? Follow up from last week's.
No!
Segment. Who's not winning? I think now that we're at the merge, it would be interesting to discuss anyone we feel confident eliminating. Is there anyone that you're like absolutely not?
Absolutely.
I start with a bold prediction, I still think that Maria is not winning. Like, I know she's like a major character. I really just feel the way that her premiere was presented, it's not her. And I'd be thrilled to be wrong.
Yeah, Maria's not on my hard eliminate, but she's definitely like not. I'm not going to make a call that she's in a strong contender.
Yeah.
I think, and this is not the question you asked, but after this episode, I kind of think that it's Tevin or Hunter. Like, I think that and this is just based off of what we were shown in this episode. I feel like there was a lot given that, you know, underdogs don't win and it's really just a victory, that it's not a complete blowout. And so I kind of think that like maybe Kenzie gets to the end and gets a couple votes or something, or Venus, who knows, but like Tevin or Hunter, who have been on top since the very beginning and could perhaps control the rest of the game, go on to win.
Yeah. I feel like if I'm going to eliminate, I feel like Soda we can eliminate.
Probably. I think Soda has been too portrayed too negatively. Like there's things they didn't have to like, yeah.
It's too like quiet and negative.
Yes.
Quiet, too quiet and negative, not going to tribal, like in the pre-merge. Like, you know, there's some negativity. Again, like we talked about, like with the Yanu, like there's definitely some negativity around Yanu, but also like, we kind of had to see some of that to make some of those votes make sense. But it's like, you know, if Soda won, they could have portrayed the whole thing with Venus very differently.
Yes.
I'm at the point where I'm worried to rule out Soda and Venus.
Me too.
Most of us would agree Venus is probably not winning, but Soda for sure.
Yeah.
If it is going to be a Yanu, it's going to be Tiff. I think that she has like really awesome content. I just still don't think it's a Yanu.
Mm-hmm. Agreed. I'd say Tiffany, and then I feel like Kenzie is like losing finalist upside is like all I can really see for Kenzie,
which would be so fun.
I can't wait.
I love Kenzie.
I feel good eliminating Tim. I think
same after this episode. Tim is, I mean, he had such a quiet pre-merge, and then this episode was like great for him.
Yeah,
it was funny, but it wasn't great.
Right. No, I mean, they only showed him to show him be bad at Survivor. So I don't think that that's great for his chances. Yeah.
I feel like I'm kind of borderline with like with Ben, maybe a little. I'm like, I could see it. I just like still feel like he's like not really like the strategy part of it just isn't clicking for me for some reason. Like he's basically like, I'm good socially and that's it. But I'm like, that's
no, that I think he's going to go far, but I think he's going to go far, but not win.
Yeah.
So I think if it's going to be a Sega, it'll be Charlie to me. I think that I just think that we're seeing a lot of like really good stuff from him, especially in like this merge where he doesn't have any power. He's like, look, if it's me or Mo, it's got to be Mo, like that kind of thing. I feel like that is good.
Yeah, I'm kind of on, like, I'm not ready to declare this. I think we're all, like, agreeing that, like, it doesn't look great for the Seagulls. I feel like I'm close to ready to declare that I don't think a Seagull's winning. But.
Fair.
I also wanted,
this is me flipping back and forth, but I wanted to point out that in the feast scene, we see it presented kind of like Tiff is the one who sort of decides it's going to be Mo quietly, which can be good for her as an emerge.
Yeah. I think going into the episode, I was like, oh, big Mo episode. Like, this is great. Merge. But yeah, I don't know. I feel like the only other person who had like kind of a bigger episode was Charlie. Like we said, like, I feel like he got to explain kind of like how he was able to sort of dodge the Venus, like Venus's weird attempt to get him. I don't know. This was just like a weird episode. I feel like no one's like really popping off with like OMG winner content to me, at least. Like no one's like, oh, this is a winner scene right here. Mm-hmm. I guess what I'm still like gravitating towards is the like Denise and Malcolm poll for Maria and Charlie. So that's all I'm really working off of right now, which I feel like is better for Maria than it is for Charlie, because, you know, comparing, obviously, as we learned in this very episode, comparing yourself to a losing finalist is not good.
I agree, but I feel like I'm putting more stock into like new era, new dynamics or whatever, in the premiere presenting Tevin and Hunter as this like, whatever they were, the old TV show people. I think that the bond is like something we've never seen before or whatever, which I think that maybe the show might like more. Like, I don't think that D was ever compared to like a previous winner or anything, despite many people on that season having done so.
She wasn't compared to a winner.
I think Survivor 45 constantly mentioned like previous winners and like past contestants, but like D was not part of that. Like I think
to my memory. I mean, they showed the Romber stuff
right
before the end. That's what, but I'm like, maybe
they, yeah, that was pretty.
Would they do that again is the question. I don't know. Maybe.
We thought that we were like, will they do Matt Chat again? And it took them a couple seasons
to like catch on that we caught on. Yeah. Especially with this season, I feel like every single episode they like name check someone from like a past season. It's so it's like,
I feel like you can't really read into it too much.
It's just like no one else has had a clip like that.
It's just interesting. Because, like, I feel like for the first 20 years of Survivor, they were very hesitant to mention other seasons of Survivor. And then suddenly they're, like, playing clip packages and they're doing a whole Hunter thing where he's like, that's the season with Caleb. Like, so it's interesting.
Yeah. Caleb's lifeless body being carted to the helicopter. Right. Like, why is that the poll? Go wrong. I don't get it. Get a gay person on that challenge for real. I feel like with Hunter, I'm leaning more towards not winning still. Just because it's a golden boy, I feel like it's like, I don't know. I think it's good for him that he has that alliance with Tevin and like we get that reiterated a lot. But I feel like that's better for Tevin than it is for Hunter.
I'm interested by that duo because, I mean, I want, like, the Venus conflict thing is so interesting, like, with, like, me trying to, like, decipher if they win. I guess it's good that most of the, it's good for them that most of Venus's fights have been with Soto specifically. I just feel like it's a lot of negativity for a winner. Venus and Hunter did have a fight once, and I don't think that Venus has like fought with Tevin yet, but he is the person she calls out as being the most in control and like not giving her the time of day, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, like the future of the other Namis is gonna really depend on like how and when, in terms of their stock, like how and when Venus goes out. Like, I think it would have been if Venus had like gone out this week pre-merge, pre-jury, like it could have been like less of a concern for me, like in terms of their winning chances. But like the longer she sticks around and the longer, even if she doesn't win, even if she goes out, it just like continues this like tension and negativity within their dynamics and positions her more and more like an underdog. It's not great for them. Like if she had gone out here, you know, boom, you know, we could, people would kind of forget about Venus to an extent the way we forgot about like Lydia going out, you know. You know, it's Venus is obviously a bigger character and involved with a little more conflict, but that like going on that position for the other Namis would have been better for their chances in terms of like how their storylines shake out. But now it's really going to the merge where this is still the dominant storyline on Nami, which is that Venus feels mistreated by them. Yeah, and they failed to get her out exactly when they had every opportunity to at this vote.
Yeah. So yeah, it's just like, I feel like for every tribe, we're like, well, I don't know. It's just like hard to like read what the tribe, what we're supposed to get out of the tribe storyline versus like the person within that tribe. It's just like, oh, I miss complex tribe theory. It was so much easier back then.
Right. And it's now it's like, is this telling the story of the episode or the story of the winner?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's hard. I'm scared.
But we'll see. As we say almost every time, like, I love not knowing. This is so much better than Island of the Idols, obviously, for many reasons. But, like, you know, episode one, you're like, Tommy, thank you for congratulations on winning $1 million. And this is so much better.
Agreed.
Yeah. A woman is winning. I don't know. I feel like that's, like... Sure. Always the way to pin off a little edgic moment for us. Yeah, I don't know. I actually feel more a high, honestly, on Tevin than any of the women. Mm-hmm. So
I do think it's probably good for a woman's chances to win. This is, you know, it seems backwards, but nobody in this episode was, well, that's not true.
Venus
will never vote out a woman. But nobody was like, Women's Alliance, which I feel like they do when the women don't get together. Like, they, like, you know what I'm saying? I feel like they only show the men being worried about Women's Alliances when that wasn't going to happen.
You know? Yeah. Yeah, it's like reverse psychology, I guess. I don't know. I think we hone in on that a lot because we're gay people, and I think that's okay.
And that's our right.
This is our goddamn God-given right to
Actually, we did see that because Tim was, like, worried about the Women's Alliance, so I think a man's going to win.
Oh, sad. But that's okay. You know, equality or whatever. We'll
get them next year.
Yeah. Does that fit into the pattern? No.
What pattern?
No, it doesn't. Well, I was like, well, there's not really a pattern of, like, we had woman, like, new era.
We had woman.
Woman, man, woman. Well, yeah,
this would be, if a woman wins, there would be a pattern.
There would, or there could not be a pattern.
Yeah. If a man wins, it would just be 3-3. So, you know, that it works. It works either way, unfortunately.
We're looking at an AABB, poetry. It's
art select.
That's it. Okay. I feel like I'm rambling. So thank you all so much for listening. Subscribe to our Patreon also.
Period.
We have fun. We have even more unhinged discussions on there. So go listen to that. See you all next week for more fun. Bye.
Love.
Bye.
Bye.